I have been a rich man and I have been a poor man, and I choose rich every fucking time.
For lack of a better word, is good.
December.
December's
a month. December's a lifestyle.
Yo.
That's what I said. It's December's when you go out to the shop on the 4th and come back in January. And if you living without a dad, it's when he went to the shop and he never came back.
Straight from the
jugular. He went to get cigarettes.
He's coming back.
During December. Lockdown. He went during lockdown.
December is when you go out. You come back with debt. You pop bottles. You drink
every
beer.
Day is
you
a Friday.
You go to prize. You go to the beach. You're coming back and you have no cash in your pocket. You got 350 to last you 8 weeks. You start to regret every single decision that you made. You wonder how you got there. But we know how you got there. You made reckless, terrible, disgusting financial situation decisions.
You're competing with politicians in the club.
You're taking your 500 bucks to groove.
You took your 500 bucks to groove. You cashed out your crypto. You are balling out like you were living in the 1%. Except now you just left with 1%. Introducing the most reckless spenders of them all. These charlatans, big ballers, spending on the corporate card, banker X's, ill overdraft, repaying Marshallisa's, high yield loans, Vince McMahon and Shawn Michaels.
Heck yes.
There we go. Tell us about December.
It's the longest month of the year for your money.
Yo, but guys, when that paycheck comes in,
early,
it comes in early. And you
early
know it comes in early.
Oh.
You know, around the 10 to 13th, that paycheck hits. And then if you have a 13 check, the 13 check hits. If you get a bonus, a year-end bonus, the bonus hits. And then every day is a Friday, December. Then it's blue skies and it's sunshine. Then it's Santa Claus festivity. You are there again, buying the big choice assorted biscuits, the one with two trays. You are there, going to Macro. What's left of Macro? Rest in peace, Macro. You are there, going and buying alcohol in bulk. It's the one month we all live for. We spend 11 months living for 1 month, and it is almost upon us.
No pressure at all, man.
The specials were so hot that Macro actually burnt down.
I'm seeing Sastry headlines this week, dude. Too fucking soon.
We asked the BankerX community, what's the worst financial mistake you've ever made all time? Let's go through some of them. I quote, my brother once took out a 70K loan to push December.
Mm.
7 years later, he still hasn't recovered.
Oh, man.
Oh, my condolences. My condolences.
But he's also blacklisted. Get review and all. There we go. I'm just starting.
Okay, but listen, no, I have to know, was it worth it? Like, there must have been a legendary story coming out of that, at least.
7 years.
Yes.
7 years. If you steal 70K, if you will go and rob a cash in transit vehicle, you hit it down for 70K, you're not spending 7 years in jail. You spent 7 years in debt review. Was it worth it? What do you mean, was it worth it? You know the answer to this. Was it worth it?
I just can't imagine, man. Can't imagine.
And the other one that came through in the community has got a 5-year ex, an iPhone 11 Pro Max, a week after we broke off. I'm finishing paying for it next year, Feb. That's painful. Oh, imagine. Oh, my goodness. Imagine having a debit order every month for that iPhone. And you know that iPhone debit order, that's not a frivolous debit order. That's a young $900, $1,000, depending on the data plan the ex got. And then you can see every month, oh, you're still paying for this thing, eh?
Yes.
That's a mistake. Oh, my goodness.
Got your heart broken and then your wallet broken in that order. I don't understand. we should interview that guy. Like, I want to know.
Vince, you talk about frivolous purchases.
Yes.
I once went to Stir Kelly Co. and ordered a double combo.
Yes, this man. No ways. That tenderpreneur money. Holy shit. Are you the reason they're paying 29 rand a toilet roll at Eskom? Be honest.
I once ordered extra toppings on a pizza.
That extra cheese.
I once parked over the limit at Sandler City. Mm. On a weekday. Imagine.
Reckless, man.
That's reckless. Well, we had someone who said they once bought 2 boxes of Choice Assorted and he's still recovering from that purchase.
No, but listen, those Choice Assorted slaps, not all of them, those ginger biscuits are pure ass. Those things are trash. Nobody
the
ever eats those.
The one in the foil
is excellent. That thing is powerful.
Overrated.
How dare you?
The one in the foil is overrated.
The thing is excellent.
It's the equivalent of being catfished. It's like going on Tinder, you know, and seeing a baddie that uses Facetune excessively. And then you pitch up to the date and she looks like you, a female version of you. And you realize, oh no, I've made a grave mistake here.
There's bottled water out there that's been less filtered than her pictures.
Oh, listen, you can't put an Instagram filter on your personality, that's for sure. That's what I have to say when it comes to most of these baddies.
Tell us more about your weekend. Like, this is just all in the last 24 hours.
No, you go out on a date, and December is ripe with dates. You go out on a date, you take a baddie out to a great place. I used to ask her, what do you do on weekends? And she says, I filter my pictures. That's a red flag. You should run. If your conversation centers around BBLs and Facetune and girlfriend allowances, you're in a bad, bad place. Now, I'm not saying we're going to talk nuclear physics, rocket science, quantitative easing, Fed stimulus. But at the very least, Vince, at the very least, Sean, you got to get someone who spends more time on their personality than Instagram filters.
Yeah. That's the better investment for sure. No negative ROI on the first day out.
There we go. Speaking of dates, someone said they got into a relationship over December.
Ooh, summer love.
That's a bad financial decision.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what? That is so rookie. That is so rookie. HBK, what do you have to say about that?
The problem is you are positioning yourself for Christmas present capex for no good reason. Like it's you know, it's a young relationship, it's fresh, you're both wide-eyed, you know, you want to put the best foot forward, and then now suddenly, hey, now you need to buy a Christmas present for your parents, for your siblings, and now you've got an extra person you need to buy Christmas presents for. Hey, and now there's an extra mouth to feed. Now the roast that you're cooking has to be a little bit bigger. There's to be extra potato salad. There's to be extra gravy. You have to buy another 2-liter Coke. Ah, my guy, you are just magnifying your expenses for no good reason.
Some hardcore budget tips, yeah.
What's the worst mistake you made, Vince? I know you've made a ton of mistakes. One of them being agreeing to be a co-founder in Bankrate. Agreeing to host the Bank Bros, to give up that life of a Ponzi scheme and focus on financial literacy. Well, you could be balling, but here you are 18 months down the line and you haven't drawn a salary from the company. Tell us about your bad December decisions.
Well, clearly this, I mean, No, dude, the easily the biggest mistake I ever made. It was two mistakes in a row. I took the first credit card the bank offered me a year after I started working without understanding anything about credit cards. And then I took out a loan at 26.5% to settle a 19% credit card.
Mm. Is that why you're still eating noodles today?
Listen, man, it's been a struggle the last 10 years, man. What can I say? You guys see that Conker was a Photoshop, man. My life is actually just 2 minute noodles.
Like, no, no, no. No, tell us the truth.
That was the honest to God truth, though. Like, I, again, not knowing a damn thing about money, it made sense to me that I take a couple grand and pay a couple $100 a month. And then I got the first statement and saw I'd be paying, you know, 24% over 3 years because they could still do that. And it's like, wow, I just dug a really deep hole. Well, it wasn't fun. It was not fun being forced to pay that off every month for a good couple of years. Easily the worst mistake I made.
Okay, here's a really hard-hitting one. I qualified for loans from different banks. I took the max on each, and I blew it. Right? Long story short, I conceived my twins that December. I was pregnant, paying off debt, hustling to prep for babies, and still trying to make ends meet.
Still in one piece, though.
I have no words.
That is...
Because the banks, they don't talk to each other. Each bank talks to the credit bureau and independently offers you something. No, that's rough.
And you know, we're speaking about this jokingly and with a light tone, but it is so true that in this December period, there's so much euphoria and you know, optimism and excitement, and that it's so easy to just make bad decisions like that and decisions that have long-term consequences. You know, if you get into debt, an excessive amount of debt, and suddenly you have circumstances or personal circumstances that change, like this person, you can find yourself in a really difficult situation. You can find yourself paying off these credit cards for years, and you kind of look back on it and you feel regret, but at the same time, it's so easy to fall into that trap.
The marketing is great. Hey, listen, when they pitch you those ads for the, especially now, the holiday ads, right? Everyone out there who's a lender is pitching you for a holiday. You know, take out a fat loan, have the vacation that you deserve. You can be paying for that for years to come if you get, like, properly entrapped in December.
You want a holiday on the beach? You're going to end up sleeping on the beach.
Under a bridge.
With a single blanket. You want a sea view? Come January. You're going to be selling that iPhone or Gumtree. You're going to be in a distressed situation. Let's talk about January.
It's a long way away.
Talk about January. People that have their first job and they don't realize that payroll closes early in December. And you have a 6-7 week gap between paychecks.
That happened to me. My first year working, my company also paid out, like, you know, I think it was like the 13th or 14th of December. It was difficult to not touch that money, and I ended up spending it. You know, like, that was the longest January of my life, going into it like every day counting coins. Not fun, because it feels like a cheat code, right? Like, you just got paid, you know, in November, you're still spending that money, and then suddenly, bam, extra cash. What? This is incredible. And it's holidays. And no, you're going to feel that next month. It's not a cheat code. You didn't win anything. You got the biggest discipline test of your life. If that's your first job, first paycheck, and you're sitting on double the money you normally have, that's when the temptation starts.
Yeah. But also, I think what people often forget is you may be sitting on double the money, but that money still needs to cover
double the
2 months worth of fixed expenses.
Yeah.
You know, if you're renting a place, you need to pay 2 months worth of rent from that money. You know, if you If you have a car payment or you have utilities, you have to cover fixed costs for 2 months. And it's extremely difficult in a period where everybody, you know, wallets are open, throats are open, we are spending, we are drinking, to have that discipline. But it is so important, because if you don't, January becomes real, and it's painful.
The month is coming whether you're ready or not, man. It's like, no matter what you do, that the calendar is going to take over. It's going to be New Year's, first day back at work, then the realization hits you. There's 3 weeks to payday, and I've got nothing left.
If I was, hello, frontman speaking, and in charge of the Squid Game, you know what game I'd play? Take a guess, Vince.
Tetris.
Keep it clean.
Tetris. It's a clean game.
Human Tetris.
Listen, man, you took it there. I'm talking about dropping blocks.
I would pay everyone their annual salary up front.
Ooh.
For the year.
For the year. What lump sum. That's what I do.
That's Hunger Games shit, man. That's cruel. That is cruel.
Yeah. For that month, everybody will be partying like a politician.
Yeah, February.
At first,
nothing. Yes. Oh, spending 5,000 rand on a bottle of Russian beer. Yeah, that's what you're going to be doing that first month.
It speaks to such an important concept. Right? It speaks to such an important concept. It speaks to the entire concept of lottery winnings, managing money, winning the lottery, right? And here's what's interesting. I ran a little vote yesterday asking people, how long do you think your cash would last if you had to get paid upfront? And there were so many liars, right? So many fucking liars. 40% of people said they could make it to a year, which is bullshit, because
nonsense.
You're dead. 40% of you. I would like to actually fund someone's salary for a year if you're part of their 40%.
Right, dude, right now, yes. I want to see what happens. Like, just
right? You're such a liar on the internet. You're out here lying on Beyonce's internet. But listen, you're saying 40% of you are saying you can last a year. Here's the thing. You look at lottery winners, right? You look at people that have actually won the lottery. They've received a ton of cash in a short space of time. In the US, roughly a third of all lottery winners eventually declare complete bankruptcy.
Yo.
Complete bankruptcy. Done. You go from $20 million, $100 million, $50 million to be broke, I am poor. Help me.
Which, to be clear, is worse than you were before you won the lotto. Before you won the lotto, you weren't technically bankrupt.
And then you have to live with the heart, with the pain in your heart, the mental anguish of knowing that you flew so close to the sun, and then like Icarus, your wings melted, and you plummeted to the earth.
But here's the thing, Vince. Here's the thing, Sean. We underestimate the psychological impact of growing up with money. And you see it all the time. First generation athletes, business people, artists, celebrities, people who have access nearly overnight to any material object, anything you can have, but they get terrible advice. You see it, NBA, NFL, Wall Street, it's the same. Guys who come up, they come up quick. They got a bad crew. They start buying houses, buying cars, stuff that depreciates. Overpaying for jewelry, overpaying for holidays, paying for people that shouldn't be in their crew, flossing out, paying for champagne in the club at inflated prices. You're enjoying it. But here's the thing. If you're an athlete and you see this, Vince, you see this, Sean, we've been working on a game plan for a sports wealth management business recently. And we've seen how many athletes hit skid row. Why? Because you have 5 years in your career, depending on the sport that you play. Not everyone's a Ronaldo, and not everyone's going to play till their late 30s. And you've got to make that cash last your entire life, because that's your peak earnings.
Yep.
Right?
You don't have a succession plan. You have the massive fixed overheads. You get injured. What happens? Your career is cut short. What happens? You're living for the now, but you're not living for tomorrow. If you have a corporate salary, you're getting paid every month. You're getting paid every year. Getting paid consistently. We laugh at getting paid your entire annual salary up front, but that's exactly what it's like in the life of an athlete. It's December every single season.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's what it is. How do you even start to figure things out and avoid being an Allen Iverson or a Mike Tyson or Diego Maradona? Where do you even start when you get a windfall of cash?
Yeah.
I think the point is, and I think it's a great question, Rick. And I think where a lot of particularly professional athletes trip up, but also, you know, ordinary people, is you often budget for a big purchase like a house or a car, but you don't think about the budget implications of living with that big purchase. And this is the mistake that athletes always make. Or often make. They'll make it big, and the first thing they want to do is, I want to buy my mom a big house. I want to buy my dad a big house. I want to take care of my whole family. And now you're sitting with five or six houses that all incur a significant monthly maintenance fee. And suddenly you find that, hey, you know, you wrote this check and you made this big once-off payment for this what you perceive to be an asset, but actually the maintenance cost of that asset is eroding your wealth. It becomes so expensive to maintain those things, and it's a mistake that, you know, non-celebrities make all the time, where you save up or you take that bond and you buy that house, and then suddenly you not only have to, you know, pay off the installments on that house or on that car, but you also have to maintain it. You got that white Range Rover with the white leather seats and your name engraved on it, and now you're paying 20 rands a liter for LRP fuel.
You have a garage full of supercars and you can't afford to drive them. I mean,
exactly.
That's what it comes down to. One of my favorites was a US lottery winner out of Wisconsin who went. He didn't have a pilot's license, but he went and bought a plane, right? And the plane, for its whole life, never left the tarmac, and he sold it for 20% on the dollar a year later. Like, just staggering set of decisions that go into this. But the biggest one, you're right, is the hidden maintenance costs, especially on a property. You are basically signing up to pay some amount of money for the rest of your life, or for as long as you're living in that property. Something is going to break. Something is going to need fixing. If you made the mistake of buying in Cape Town a few years ago and day zero hit, you found out what water suddenly cost overnight, 600% up. You don't see these things when you're just looking at the sticker price and you figure you're invincible. You know, you're in peak form. The world is
invincible.
You're going to do this forever. And then 2 years later, knee injury, you know.
Arrow to the knee.
You ate bad noodles like Vince.
Guys, how do I do an anti-advertisement for noodles? Just this December, please do not buy.
Vince had bad noodles and he almost passed out. Boy.
I do have to credit Sean with the best comeback. The 2 minutes refers to your life expectancy. Like,
but here's the thing. If you don't manage your money will manage you. That's it. If you don't manage your money will manage you. And you look
doesn't
at,
even make sense.
It makes perfect sense. And I'll tell you why. Yep. Here's why. There's an article that was put out a couple of months back around top tier investment bankers who are struggling to get by each month. Managing directors, C-suite directors. Heavy hitters, big swinging dicks. These guys were making 30 million rands on average a year, and they were struggling to get by month to month. Right.
Cool.
Their money was managing them.
Yeah.
Why? Because they could not leave their job. Are you going to leave that job? Why? Because you've got ski trips, private schools, holiday mansions. You may have a partner with expensive taste.
You may taxes. Have another partner with even you, more expensive another, taste.
You got to get Christmas presents for the wife and the girlfriend. It's
strong. Whoa. Guys, you cut this from the podcast. Shit. You've got many partners in many cities. You've got therapists. You've got personal trainers. You've got a chef. You've got some guy to come out there and put toothpaste on your toothbrush. And I'm not talking about actual Aquafresh, right? You've got all of these people around you, and you can't leave that job. What happens? Mm-hmm. You're pulling kids out of your private school. You're going to sell the range. You're going to give up all those partners. You're going to give up that expensive coke habit. It's not a habit anymore. It's an addiction. Are you going to do all of that? You can't. Invisible handcuffs. Your money now manages you. Why? Because you're stuck. So what you do, you double down, you wait for the next bonus. And you keep doing it. You rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. And while it's very true that most people aren't earning enough, the truth is, will you go on the extreme end? And will you earn too much too fast? Or will you just earn far too much? And you don't have the basics of financial literacy pulled down. You are in a bad, bad place.
Yeah.
You know,
and even without that, right? I mean, like, your money managing you, that's actually where I was for about 2.5 years. Because after doing the dumb thing of getting a credit card and then getting a loan and then getting two more loans on top of that, me and Direct Access were best friends for a few years. 26.5%. Yes. Different DA, man. Different DA. This one takes your money. For about 2 years, I finally learned how to budget like the hard way, because now it's like, okay, I need to actually pay this loan every month. And for 2.5 years, there was this line item that I couldn't remove from the budget. I could move other things. I couldn't remove this. It felt like I was in a bad marriage until the day I finally paid it off and I could delete that line out of the spreadsheet. It felt like the happiest divorce of my life. So, and that was like a small scale thing. That's a loan I could afford. I was still working a full-time job. You know, I was getting Direct Access emails every 2 weeks offering me an upgrade. So I could manage it. But if you're stuck in a situation where you can't manage it, where your work is unsure and you're piling up debt, it'll feel like it's crushing you. So yeah, your lack of money, your debt, your financial situation can absolutely manage you if you're not on top of it.
You know, and there's another aspect to it that Rick and Vince, you both touched on, and that is, you know, a lot of the regular listeners to the Bank Growth Podcast, a lot of the millions and millions of the Bank Bros listeners work in professional services jobs. And you know, and one of the characteristics of these types of jobs is that you have a large portion of your compensation is variable. A big chunk of it is your bonus. And depending on your level of seniority, that becomes even more. And so it becomes even more important for you to be super, super clear and deliberate about budgeting, because in many cases, you're taking a view on what your December bonus is going to be. You're taking a view on what that variable compensation is. And, you know, we've all heard so many sad examples of people who spend in anticipation of that December take that extra paycheck coming, that extra bonus coming, and then the number's not quite where you thought it would be. Mm-hmm. Or there is no bonus, or the bonus is 20% less than you thought it would be. And now suddenly you go from running a balanced budget, from having a, you know, pretty much on top of things, to now having a shortfall. And depending on how badly you measure it, that shortfall could be massive and it could have long-term implications. And that's why it's so important to spend money you have and spend money you know you're going to have, not the money you think you'll have, because anything can happen until that money hits your bank account.
Yep. Ric Flair, woo! 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 Nobody else want to take me on in a woo contest.
My throat's killing me, man.
Vince!
Woo! I'm still dying from noodles.
Nah, Vince. You got no chance. Is that what you got? Listen.
We've seen it. Investment banking. You work your entire year and you hinge your life on that number. That number can be 1 times your annual salary. It can be 0.1 times your annual salary. It can be 3 times your annual salary. You go in and you base your entire life, your entire spending, your credit card hinges on this. And you go in and you spend as if you're going to get 1.5 times your annual salary. You come out and you get half your annual salary. Right? Now what do you do? Now what do you do? You're stuck.
Yep.
You bought that house. Why? Because interest rates were low.
And a DJ told you to on the internet.
And you know what? Last night a DJ didn't save your life.
It's blood right on the dance floor now.
Whoa. Oh, bars and poles more. Oh, get this man in the studio. We've got a hyena out here. Listen, what are you going to do? You're planning for cash that you don't have, but here's the thing, it's COVID. People are retrenching, they're cutting back, they're scaling back. They've got massive head office costs that they've got to pay, and they don't have bums on seats. It's bad. Don't expect a bonus. Go in thinking, no bonus. Yeah. Don't have expectations.
Your execs still need to pay themselves bonuses.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Those Woolworths CEOs with their performance bonuses.
Oh my God, don't even start with that.
Your CEO still needs to make sure he gets a bonus before you get a bonus. And trust me, he will have no problem. He or she will have no problem saying, guys, it's been a tough year, eh? Oh, guys, you know, staying employed is the new bonus. Imagine.
You know, your CEO will come up to you and say, you see this Lambo? If you work hard next year, I can buy another one.
It's tough out there.
Can't even, it's too close to home. When you walk into that audit firm, you walk into an investment bank and you walk through the car park and you see Ferraris, Lambos, Porsches, and you're out there in your Kia Picanto catfishing a parking space. That's when you realize this ain't corporate, this is Squid Game.